Amen. Thank you, Janet. I would think that singing a familiar hymn to a different tune would be one of the hardest things to do. It would be for me. I'd be cutting off on the old song is what I'd be doing. So that was a great job. Thank you. All right, I want you to open your Bibles tonight, please, to Psalm 145. Psalm 145. I've had a bunch of people ask me for a copy of the names of Christ that I read to you this morning. So I will try and put that in some semblance of readability for you. Is that a word? It is now. I just made it one. So you can do that in West Virginia. You just make up your own words. It's one thing I miss about home is I could just make up words and everybody thought I was so smart when I did it. The hillbilly said. All right, Psalm 145. So I'll try to have those available for you. Beginning in the first verse, and I want to read the entire psalm, so you follow along in your Bible. This psalm is David's psalm of praise. And I want you to notice the wording. He says in verse 1, I will extol thee, my God, O King, and will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and thy wondrous and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts, and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. The Lord upholdeth all that fall, and raiseth up all that those that be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. I want to speak a message that I've entitled, Praising God Every Day. Praising God Every Day. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you so much for the Word of God. And Lord, if we just went home after I finished praying, we could say we've been to church. Our hearts have already been blessed. Thank you, Lord, for the souls that were saved on the bus routes today. Thank you, Lord, for the testimony that we heard and the beautiful songs that we have heard tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the spirit in which the congregational songs were sung tonight. And Lord, I trust that you will receive praise and glory, honor from what has been offered to you tonight. And Lord, we pray now as we look at the scriptures that you will bless us in a mighty way. May the Holy Spirit of God give us a heart that is desirous of praising you. And Lord, we know as we just read in this psalm that you are worthy to be praised. So Father, give us a heart of praise to you, not just here in this service, but Lord, tomorrow morning when we have to go to work, and Tuesday morning and Tuesday afternoon and all the rest of the week, that Lord, we'll just have a heart that is focused upon our praising you for your mighty goodness to us. Father, I pray you'll use me tonight and help me to say something that will encourage someone here in this audience to want to lift up their hearts in praise to you. Father, bless us now, we ask, in Jesus' name, amen. Let me ask you a simple question tonight. Don't answer out loud. Just answer it in your heart. But let me ask you, do you pray? You say, well, Pastor, of course I pray. Well, suppose then I asked you, do you pray every day? And you would say, well, Pastor, of course I pray every day. As a matter of fact, I find myself praying several times a day. And if you are a child of God, I would expect you to answer me with that response. As a believer in Christ, and knowing that we have a high priest that sits at the right hand of God making intercession for us, that ought to motivate and encourage us to pray every day, several times a day. But let me ask you another question, and I trust you will answer me honestly from your heart. Do you praise God every day? Do you praise God every day? Do you feel as compelled to praise God as you do to pray to God? Well, you see, praise is a very important part of our worship to God. And if we would be honest, I'm not sure the answer that we would give to the second question would be as quick or as certain as the answer that we would give to the first question that I asked you tonight. Now, I read for you Psalm 145. This psalm is called the Tehillah. T-A-H-I-L-L-A. The Tehillah. And it simply means the Psalm of Praise. This psalm is the last of what are called the acrostic psalms. Now, what that means is that each verse in this psalm, while it does not do it in English, when it's translated in the Hebrew text, each verse of this psalm begins with the letters of the Hebrew alphabet in order. In other words, the first one starts with the Aleph, and then the Bet, and then the Vod, and right on down the order it goes. And this is what is called an acrostic psalm. And the most famous of the acrostic psalms is Psalm 119. Now, I've taught you that, and I believe Dr. Smith, before he left, spent a year or two in Psalm 119. So those of you that were here then know that Psalm 119, that great psalm that deals with the subject of the Word of God, where in every verse there is a reference to the Word of God. Well, that is an acrostic psalm, and each of the sections of that psalm begins with the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. It was simply a method of writing that gave semblance and gave structure to a verse that was written. Now, the difference between Psalm 145 and Psalm 119 is really quite striking, and that is that in Psalm 145, all of the letters are used except for one. There is one letter that is missing, and that is the letter M. It is not in this psalm. It goes all the way through the alphabet, and when it gets to the N, it's missing, and the next verse starts with the next letter that followed N. Now, there's been a great deal of speculation as to why the psalmist, why David wrote this psalm in this fashion. Why did he leave the N out? And the alphabetical arrangement, it has been suggested that the alphabetical arrangement suggests that when speaking on the subject of praise, of course going back to the Word of God, that the Word of God is perfect. There is nothing left out of the Word of God. But with this psalm, this has to do with man praising God. And in our sinful states, in our sinful condition, as sinners, we do not praise the Lord the way we ought to praise Him. Therefore, David did not feel that he could completely use the alphabet. Don't forget, the alphabet is what you use to form words. And so, instead of using all of the letters, he left one out as if to say that the sinfulness of man retards our ability and desire to praise God the way we should. Now, if you know your Bible, you know that one day that's going to be reversed when all people learn to praise the Lord, when all the redeemed unite around the throne of Christ as one, and on that day, Jew and Gentile, the church, will all be able to give to the Lord the true praise that He is worthy of. Now, praise comes from the word that means to be bright. Now you think about that for a moment. The word praise comes from the root, which means to be bright. The word bless that is used in this verse, in this psalm several times, the word bless comes from a Hebrew word that means to bend the knee. To bend the knee. Now what are you doing when you bend your knee? You are bowing before someone. You are humbling yourself. And so the point is that praising God should not be second-class business for the Christian. It should not be something that we just throw in every now and then. It should not be something that we just do when we feel good and when we're motivated to do so. No, God certainly deserves our praise, and God deserves it often. You say, well, Pastor, I just don't feel like praising God. Dear friend, let me tell you something. We ought to praise God out of a sense of justice. We should feel obligated to praise the Lord. It is the least that we can do for all that the Lord has done for us. Now, you just think about it. The Lord Jesus redeemed you with His precious blood. He forgave you of all of your sins, and He gave you eternal life, a home in heaven that will never, never, never expire. And we should be praising God 24 hours a day if you think about it. Now, there's one more thought I want to give you before I launch into the message. I'm sure that I haven't thought this through as well as I should, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. You can fake piety. You can fake, at least to others, you can fake spirituality. You can deceive folks into thinking that you're spiritually minded. You can fast twice a week, stand in the church and offer something akin to prayer, but to praise God the way David is talking about praising God here is something you cannot fake. And I hope you'll see that as I go through the message tonight. To praise God with all of your heart, this is a true mark of a close walk with God, and you can't fake that.
and a token of a heart renewed by divine grace. I mean, listen, most Christians have never gotten alone with God and spent time praising God the way this psalm talks about praising God. How is it that we approach God? You know, in most cases, not always, and I understand that, but in most cases, we go to God with a severe case of the gimmies. Right? Lord, give me this and give me that. And we do not get hardly anywhere near the kind of praise that David is talking about in this passage of Scripture. Oh, I wish I could stir the strings of your heart tonight. I wish that every believer in this room would have the Holy Spirit just grab a hold of you and say, listen to the pastor tonight. He's trying to give you something that's going to help you in your relationship with your Savior. And I just wish with all my heart that I could get you to go home and praise the Lord who redeemed your soul. I'm not talking about just here in church. That's what's wrong with so much of our praise, is that we do it where we can be seen of others. And I don't think that David went down to the middle of town and got up on a stump and read this psalm and talked about how much and how often he praised God. This was between him and his God. This was not something that he held out for the world to see or to hear. This was something that was personal between him and God. Praising the Lord, not just here in church, but every day of your life, to give to God the overflowing praises of your heart. Folks, listen, nothing would oil the chariot wheels of this life any more than for us to learn to daily spend time with God, praising Him for who He is and what He has done and what He's going to do in the future. Now, three things tonight. First of all, look with me at the matter of personal praise. Read verse 1 with me. It says, I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. This, from these words found in the first verse, I want you to look at with me at the matter of personal praise. We find first the reason that David wanted to praise God. There are two reasons that David gives here as to why he wanted to praise God. First of all, because of God's personal relationship with him. I want you to look at what David says in it. I will extol thee. What's the next two words? My God. Nobody can praise God the way they should. Nobody can praise God apart from a personal relationship with Him. I mean, you've got to be saved in order to give God the praise that He's due. You've got to know Him. When you stop and realize the God who created the heavens and the earth, the sun, the moon, the stars, the God whom the angels and seraphim adore, the God who sent His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus, to die on Calvary's cross, when you realize that this God is my God, that I am His and He is mine, that there's nothing that can separate me from His grace and His love, when you get to the point where you have read this Bible and you know God in a personal way and you read the Bible and you identify with the Bible and the Bible speaks to your heart and God uses His Word to touch your soul. In other words, folks, when God becomes your God, then you're going to be able to give Him the praise that He's due. I think that's what's wrong with so many Christians and why they don't praise the Lord is simply because they don't know Him well enough to praise Him. What's another man's God to me? What's another man's God to me? He must be my God, or I cannot praise Him the way He deserves to be praised. Secondly, I want you to notice, we're talking now about the matter of personal praise, and there's two reasons that David gives as to why he wanted to praise God. First, because of God's personal relationship to him. But secondly, because of the permanence of God's relationship to him. Go back to your verse. In verse 1, it says, I will bless thy name forever and ever. In verse 2, he says, every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Let me explain what I think David meant here. I want you to notice that phrase, forever and ever. Folks, just think about it. David was the king in the land. He was not only the king in the land, he was appointed by God to be the king in the land. This man had climbed as high as any man could climb. There was no position or no man any higher on the planet than was King David. But David knew that there was one higher than himself. He knew that as high as he was, there was a king higher than the king of Israel. And he knew this relationship would never change. God would be God forever and ever. And as high as David had gotten, he knew that he would never be able to supersede God. Man, we ought to bring out the alabaster box and break it open and pour it upon the Savior's head and feet. Why? For great is the Lord. That's why. And greatly to be praised. Notice the wording, forever and ever. Now think about that. Forever. How long is that? That's forever. You'd think that David was being a little redundant here, would you not? You'd think that, well, David, you could have put a period at the end of the verse, ever. Forever, period. But he didn't do that. He said forever and ever. And it's almost like David is saying, forever, for me to praise God forever for what He has done for me is just not long enough. I want to praise Him forever and ever. I don't want to just praise Him forever. Realizing what God has done for me, realizing who God is, David said, I don't want to just praise Him forever. I want to double that. I want to praise Him forever and ever. And basically he says that God should be praised for two eternities. That's how good God is. For two forevers. For that is how good God is. The point is, folks, if there were 50 eternities, we'd spend them all blessing and praising the name of our God. So that's the matter of personal praise. Secondly, look with me at the manner of personal praise. We find this one also in beginning in verse 2. And I want to really emphasize this point. I think right here is where we miss so much. We say, well, I'm going to church today, and we come to church and we praise the Lord. But what do we do on Monday? What do we do on Monday? David didn't just praise God one day a week when some music got him all stirred up to do so. David didn't just praise God one week out of the year whenever some feast or some holy day was observed and that got him all worked up. No, David praised God every day. I want you to notice David's outlook on this manner of personal praise. David had an everyday view of his relationship with God. An everyday view, not just a Sunday to Sunday day, or back in the Old Testament, a Saturday to Saturday day. But David had an everyday view of praising God. You see, just like the rest of us, his time was made up of days, and those days turned into weeks, And those weeks turned into months, and those months turned into years. And David determined that not one day was going to pass without him giving praise to God. Look at verse 2. Every day will I bless thee. Every day. Now you think about that, folks. Go back in your mind's eye and just kind of picture David's life. I want you just to go back in your mind's eye. Let's suppose that David kept a journal. Can you imagine what he would have written in that journal? You see, we have a tendency to think that these Old Testament characters like David and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Solomon and Daniel and Jonah and all the rest of them, we have a tendency to think that these Old Testament characters lived lives that were filled with nothing but sunshine and roses. And they just went through their whole lives and didn't have any problems and didn't have anybody mad at them, and they never had any financial problems, and they never had anybody break their heart. They just went through life, their lives filled with sunshine and roses. But you know, that was not the case. David spent 10 years, not 10 days, not 10 months, 10 years of his life running through the Judean hills from King Saul, who was trying to kill him. Now you think about that. Saul and his men were just a few steps behind David many, many times. He did not go through life with the sun shining upon his every step and everything just hunky-dory. I can imagine, though, how David dealt with this. I know how I would have dealt with it. And believe me, after being your pastor for 10 years, I know how many of you would have dealt with it. And this would not have been an easy thing to deal with. 10 years, folks. But according to verse 2, David said, every day will I bless thee. Every day. I can imagine in his journal one day, he says, I praise God that for helping me escape from Saul, who was trying to kill me with a spear in his house. What? He praised God? Saul was trying to kill him. Yet he praised God for it, according to verse 2. Every day will I praise thee. I could imagine one day he said, I praise God for providing me a cave to sleep in while Saul's men were chasing me all over the Judean wilderness. What, David? You praise God for a cave? My soul, you have been chosen. You were anointed by Samuel to be the king. You slept in the king's house. And you're praising God for a cave? Now you see, even God can make a cave seem like a palace when you're giving Him praise for what He's teaching you out in the cave. Folks, you're going to have some rough spots. That's what I'm trying to get you to see. I mean, you're just going to have some rough spots as you go through life. You know, as a parent, what do we try to do? We try to protect our children from facing the rough spots, don't we? We do everything we can to make sure that when the rough spots come, that we somehow or another pick them up and get them through it. Folks, I want you to know that David learned early in life to let God get him through the rough spots. And I think that was the reason that he could praise God even when things were not going well. Praising God every day. I can imagine he said, I praise God for providing Ahimelech to provide me bread so I wouldn't fall over from hunger. Out there running around trying to keep ahead of Saul, and the poor man was about to starve to death. And God provided him a man named Ahimelech. And Ahimelech said, I can get you some bread. And he ran down to the temple and got him to the tabernacle and got him some bread. Brought it to him and said, here, David, eat this. And I'm sure that David stopped and just praised God that Ahimelech was there to take care of him in a time of need. You see, folks, we don't understand that David had a life that was basically just like our lives. He had sorrow. He had heartache. Oh, he had a rich, full, blessed life. My soul, he was the king of Israel. But he had a lot of bad things that happened to him that he had to endure along the way too. You say, well, Pastor, how did David make it through the rough times? Well, he knew something that all of us need to learn. He knew that instead of looking at the bad things that happened and getting all discouraged and depressed over the bad things that happened, growing despondent and forsaking our walk with God, realize that our days upon this earth are few and full of sorrow, but then just learn to praise God even when things aren't going right. Folks, listen, that's... The fact that you're going to have problems, the fact that you're going to have heartache, the fact that everything's just not always going to be like you think it ought to be, that's just life. But you praise God and you stay with God and you trust God and you keep going and God is going to lift you up. And He's going to put you in a situation where His blessing's upon you. David determined early in life, as this psalm is thought to have been written right after David had slain Goliath. So folks, David wrote this psalm and then all these things happened to him. David wrote this psalm when he was a teenager. I'm saying that he learned at an early age to just praise God and keep going and let God take care of whatever comes your way. He just said, I'm not going to let a day pass without looking for and finding some way to praise God. Think about it, Christian. Every day. Every day. What an example this is for us to emulate. Every day. What a rebuke this is to our bitter spirits. What a rebuke this is to our discouragement. Hey, how you doing? Oh, I'm not doing very good. Oh, well, I'm sorry I asked. Let me tell you about it. Okay. And then an hour later, you walk away going, how in the world did I get involved in that? Discouragements. What a rebuke this is to our pouting. Well, I'm upset. I'll show them I hold my ties. Pout, pout, pout. What a rebuke this is to our feeling sorry for ourselves because of what we have to go through. Folks, just praise God. I mean, you're here, aren't you? I mean, you got out of bed this morning. Some of you crawled out of bed, but praise God you got out of bed. You came to church tonight. You dragged yourself in here and you wondered if you were going to make it, but wait a minute, you made it. Just praise God for the strength you have. David had an everyday view of life. But then also David had a forever view of life. He was looking forward to praising God for as long as eternity rolled. It's mentioned all the way through this psalm. And he talks about how he was going to praise God. And then the generations that follow were going to take the praises and they were going to offer them to God. And as long as eternity, as long as there's life and on into eternity, he said, we're going to praise the Lord. He wanted to get practiced up while he was living his life for what he planned to do for all eternity. When he arrived in heaven and stood before the throne of God, he wanted to have to already have a jump on knowing how to praise God. Let me have you hold your place here for a minute. Turn over to the book of Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4, last book of your Bible. The fourth chapter, please. Let me begin reading in the 8th verse. It says in the 8th verse, you got it? Verse 8 says, and the four beasts had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, And they rest not day or night, day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to Him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders, by the way, folks, these elders represent you and me. The 24 elders fall down before Him that sat on the throne and worship Him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive honor, glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Look at chapter 5 and verse 8. It says, in verse 8, and when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders, that's us again, fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new psalm, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain, to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto Him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped Him that lived forever and ever. Turn to chapter 21 real quickly, to the 21st chapter. And look, please, if you will, at verse 22. Verse 22. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb and the light thereof, or is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Chapter 22, verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, there was a tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. And they shall see His face, and His name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. The point is, Christian, you better learn how to praise God now, because you and I are going to spend all of eternity giving God the praise and glory and honor that He deserves. We better get practiced up down here. We better get over our pouting and get over our discouragement and get over our selfishness and just stop and realize that this thing of living for God is not about me, and it's not about the church, and it's not about you. It's not about anybody sitting on this platform. This thing of serving God and living for God is something that we're going to do for all eternity, not for my glory, not for your glory, not for the church's glory, but for His glory. And we need to learn how to praise God now. Then, very quickly, I wasn't going to keep you very long tonight. I've gotten a little carried away here. Number three, real quickly, look at the method of personal praise. First thing we looked at was the matter of personal praise, then the manner of personal praise. But now thirdly, look at the method of personal praise. Folks, I want you to do this. Would you do this for me this week? Just try it this week and see what you think. Look for the hand of God each day in your life. Someone said, he who looks for God's hand will not be long in seeing it. If you'll just take a minute every day to look for God's mercies, you'll see them every day. Your health, your family, the food you eat, your job, a roof over your head, an automobile, life. I mean, good night. When you get out of bed, praise God, you got out of bed. You know, there's going to be somebody on this planet that's not going to get out of bed tomorrow morning. Praise God that you got out of bed. Your salvation, your victories, but wait a minute, your troubles, your trials, your disappointments. When you can praise God for the troubles you face, you're going to find a richer form of blessing. Life grows sweeter each day when we learn to praise God regardless of what we have to face. And then just be like David and resolve that as long as you live, you will praise the living God. As long as God gives you breath, you're going to use that breath to lift up your voice in praise to Him. You know, I was thinking as I was preparing this sermon, one of these days, if Jesus tarries His coming, I'm going to grow old. I used to be able to say that. I can't say that anymore, can I? One of these days, I'm going to grow old. One of these days, I'm not going to be able to preach and stand here as pastor of this church. If Jesus tarries His coming, one of these days, I might get sick. I might become bedfast and not be able to attend church. But you know, folks, as long as I have breath, as long as I have my mind, I can still praise the Lord. And so can you. I want to challenge every believer in this room tonight to start tonight and just make up your mind that you're going to be like David in verse 2, and every day, you're going to give God praise for what He has done in your life. As I was preparing the sermon, I thought about this fellow many, many years ago when I was pastoring in Bell Creek Baptist Church in Dixie, West Virginia. This fellow was a member of our church, had been a member of our church for years. The church was 127 years old, I think, or something like that, when I went there. It was old. I don't know, been there a long time. And this fellow was a member of the church. Or he was a member of the church where our church split off from it, or I don't remember. Anyway, he'd been in the church for years. And this guy was one of the finest Christians that I knew, one of the finest Christians. He taught Sunday school in our church for a long time. So he just got too old to teach Sunday school. He would get up and start to teach, and his mind would go back years before, and he'd start talking about things that had happened years ago. And so I had to ask him if he would step down as teacher of that Sunday school class. And I went to see him. He was 95 years of age. 95. And I'd spent many an hour in his home the two of us just talking. He was one of the finest Christians that I ever met in my life. But he was going downhill quickly. And I went to see him shortly before he died. And I sat down by his bedside. And I asked him, "Do you remember me?" He looked at me and squinted. And he got a real puzzled look on his face. And he said, "No, I'm sorry, son. I don't remember you." And about that time, his own son, his boy, walked in the room. And I looked over and I said, "Well, do you recognize this handsome fellow right here?" And he squinted once again and he looked. And he said, "No," he said, "I don't recognize him either. Who is that boy?" And I said, "That's your son." He said, "No, that's not my son." His boy was heartbroken when he heard his daddy say that. The old man was losing his mental faculties. And I really didn't know what to do. I kind of felt like I should have just kept my mouth shut. There was another part of me that wanted to kind of cover my tracks with his boy. So I looked at him and I said, "Well, let me ask you a question. Do you know Jesus?" And the biggest old smile came across his face. And big old tears filled his eyes. And he reached out his hand towards mine and I reached over and took him by the hand. And he smiled at me and he said, "Oh yeah, I know Jesus." He said, "Preacher, I know Jesus. I've spent about 80 years of my life every day just praising the Lord Jesus. I've never forgotten that." He didn't know me. He didn't know his own son. And I didn't ask him, but the truth of the matter is, he probably didn't know who he was. But he knew the Savior. How did he know the Lord? Because he had spent every day walking with the Lord. Christian, that's my challenge to you tonight. I tell you, we get so wrapped up in church. We get so wrapped up in job. We get so wrapped up in money. And all of that, you got to have it to exist. I understand that. I'm not by any means advocating that you ought to quit church. I'm not saying that. Please don't go out of here and say that. But I'm telling you this. Our relationship with this God and the God of this Bible and our personal walk with Him is more important than any of the rest of it put together. And I want to challenge you tonight. Go home. Read this psalm over and over and over until you get to the place where you have a desire in your heart to be like David. And just say, "I will extol Thee, O Lord, my Lord, and know the God that has redeemed your soul." Folks, you're going to spend all of eternity praising Him. You might as well get started right now. Let's bow for prayer. Father in heaven, I pray that You'll use the message tonight to stir the hearts of Your people. Lord, You love us so much. And all You want is for us to give You praise and glory and honor. Praise and honor and glory that You deserve. Lord, I don't deserve it. And there's not a pastor on this staff that deserves it. There's not a person sitting in this room that deserves it. But Lord, You do. Help us to learn to praise the Lord. Help us to learn to open our Bibles and read about our great God. And just stop. And instead of asking for anything, just praising You for who You are. Lord, give us that walk. Help us to be like that dear old church member. Lord, help us to be like that dear old church member who in the waning moments of his life didn't know anything, but he knew Jesus. Lord, may we know You that well. Father, give us a burdened heart tonight to praise You. In Jesus' name, amen.